Very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or two, certainly anyway. A little bit later on, we are going to be talking about, well, are we hypocrites if we're eating meat and then pretending we care about animals? What do you think? I mean, if you're a meat eater and you're sitting down to a steak on a Sunday or whatever it is, and then you turn around and you say, oh, look at the little puppy, and then you say... And you say something like, I care about animals and I care about animal cruelty. Are you actually being a hypocrite? Because according to official statistics, you are being a hypocrite. We'll get around to talking about that a little bit later on. First on the show today, the Irish language has been officially a language in the EU, by the way, since 2007. It's not that long ago. Although it was always been defined as the country's official language by the Irish Constitution, with English defined as the country's second official language. However, only 1.8% of the Irish population currently speak Irish outside of the education system. And a recent study by the state agency, Uras na Gaeltachta, showed that the Irish is in steep decline in the Gaeltacht, Irish-speaking areas of the country. Now, the report believes that in 10 years, Irish will no longer be a primary language in these Gaeltacht areas. Now, the broadcaster and businessman Ivan Yates doubled down on complaints that were made over comments he made about the Irish language that have caused, well, uproar among the people in the Gaeltacht. While a guest on the 6 o'clock show on Virgin Media Television, or as most people know, a TV3, because it's the worst rebranding in history, Yates was asked if he speaks Irish when the show's host Brian Dowling and Fionnuala J interviewed the native speaker, Anyway, he said, Ivan Yates said, Níl focal a bit agum. He couldn't be arsed to learn the Irish language. He said, I'm sorry if you're offended. Dowling then got up off his seat and shook Ivan Yates' hand, adding that he has no Irish either. And Yates continued, all this money we put into it, and there's only 16,000 people in the country speaking it now. He added that he's not against it, but in the 2022 census, around 1.83 million people said they could speak some Irish. Some 10% of those said they could speak Irish very well, while a further 32% could speak it even better. Allegedly. Now, grants for the Gaeltacht area, well, when I say grants for the Gaeltacht area, altogether, it's very difficult to work out how much the Irish language costs per year. But I remember doing a show going back a few years ago, would have been 4 or 5 years ago now, when we worked it out at the time after you add everything up, the grants for the Gaeltacht area, the road signs, the core translations, the EU translations, the projects and promotions, the Department of Social Protection at the time ran up a bill of 5 million on interpretation costs. Costs for the 2022 were just over 3.2 million, by the way, for the Department of Social Protection. Radio na Gaeltacht, 8.3 million. TG Cahar, God only knows. Works out about 1.1 billion per year. And only in October, actually, the Gaeltacht ministers, Catherine Martin and Patrick O'Donovan, announced 2.8 million, or 1 million, should I say, in funding to strengthen the Irish language in schools. So when a tiny percentage of the population who claim they only speak Irish, which is about 12,000 to 16,000 people, and it's very hard to get an actual figure on that, is it worth spending that kind of money on it? Now, I know it's part of our heritage and it's what we are and it's our identity and everything else. But realistically, most of us don't speak Irish. I spent, whatever, 14 years of my school days being, you know, told that Peg Sayers was the be-all and end-all and that I should know Irish. And I walked out of school knowing little or no Irish. Yet I only did French for 2 years and I probably knew more French. Maybe it was the way they thought it. I don't know. It was rammed down our throats. Some people have suggested that it shouldn't be mandatory in schools either. That we should have it, it should be a choice for people. But what do you think? The Irish language, generally speaking, do you agree with spending all of that money on it? I mean, don't get me wrong. I wonder if we didn't spend the money on it, would it just die? I don't think I'd like that either, even though I'm, you know, I'm not going to say I'm not a fan of the Irish language. I think it's nice. I think it's a romantic idea, isn't it, to think that you could speak fluent Irish. But we don't. But yet, it's funny, when I watch Nuacht or something like that, I can kind of pick up most of it. I have a fair idea what they're talking about. It's funny that, isn't it? That when we hear the words, sometimes we kind of understand it, but yet we don't actually speak it. So unconsciously, we still remember all that stuff we learned when we were 6 or 7 years of age in school. Anyway, I want to know what you think. Is it worth spending all that money on the Irish language? Or do you think we should just... look, if it lives, it lives. If it dies, it dies. And you're a bit apathetic about the whole thing. Let me know what you think. The number, as usual, 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. One man who knows a lot about the language is being Don Fitzgerald, who is a Kerry County Councillor, and he joins me on the line. Hold on, I got him there. Good afternoon to you.
Cúna sa tátú, Niall.
Cúna sa tátú.
Tásúla gom gawil tú gama.
I'm not even going to try and answer you, but I'm grand.
That's exactly what I was asking. So I'm sure, as you said, there everybody has it within them.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. When I watch or listen to somebody, if you yapped away there in Irish for a second, I probably have a basic understanding of what you're talking about, but I couldn't reply to you. But here's the thing. We spend a huge amount of money on the Irish language. And, you know, Ivan Yates insulted a lot of Irish speakers, of course, going back last week. And he doesn't care, by the way, what he says. So he doubled down on it, by the way, and still says he wasn't going to apologise for what he said. Now, I think Brian Dowling from TV3 did apologise. Although I wouldn't say the apology was very sincere. He just apologised to keep everybody happy.
Yeah.
Basically saying, you know, he couldn't be arsed to learn the language. It's a waste of money when you think about only 12 to 16,000 people actually speak it every single day, apart from educators, obviously. So, I mean, is it a waste of money, Brendan?
Absolutely not. I think, number one, I wouldn't be kind of valuing Ivan's opinion too much myself. But I'm lucky enough to, I suppose, be born and bred in the Gaeltacht here in Corcaguina in Dingle. And for me, yeah, you can look at it as, are we spending it on trying to maintain the language, keep the language? But for me, especially since I became a county councillor, it's all about providing services to people who want to go about their lives using Irish, having an opportunity to, I suppose, build a house, buy a house, get a job, leave their children go to school, all through the medium of Irish language. And if you ask me, we're not spending half enough. I know it for myself, going around the services that we are lacking here in the Gaeltacht areas, and that is the same throughout the Gaeltacht areas, from on Gaeltacht Tyrconnell, Gaeltacht Veo, Connemara, Kiri, Corky, the Gaeltacht's all around the place. So number one, what we have to say is, there's people, whatever about anybody else's view, there's people who want to live, work, and have a future through the Irish language. And it's up to us to provide the services and the means for them to do that.
There was a bit of a resurgence sort of somewhere around 2017. I remember a lot of people on Facebook were even changing their names to the Irish names. I thought that was a bit pretentious, to be honest with you, but however, they were changing their names to Irish. And there was a little bit of a resurgence, I felt. And, you know, the girls' schools all open, and the girls' schools, of course, are very difficult to get your children into because they're so busy now. But there's other reasons why people want to send their kids to girls' schools as well. But, I mean, this idea that in a recent state study by the state agency, Údaráis na Gaeltacht, has showed that the Irish is in steep decline in Irish-speaking areas of the country, and they believe that in 10 years' time there will be no longer be a primary language in these Gaeltacht areas. Does that concern you?
Of course. Any study or any research like that, it shows that, number one, I suppose it's a wake-up call. It is up to ourselves and to people in the authority and the state to actually look at it and say, okay, why is it in decline? Is it because people who have the Irish language can't buy houses or build houses in their own areas, in the Gaeltacht areas? Is our planning laws prohibiting people who have the Irish language getting planning permission to build in a Gaeltacht area? Because, look, we all know the Gaeltacht areas. They're the most beautiful areas in the whole of the country. And people want to come here. They want to stay here. They want to spend time here. And that actually creates difficulties for local Irish people who have Irish language in buying houses, building houses, and getting, I suppose, a foot in the property market. Yes, of course, there all the focus is on in the big cities, but we have as much difficulties with planning, getting planning permission, affordable homes, service sites in Gaeltacht areas as we do in any of our bigger cities. And we must, I was privileged to be in the Senate last week as a councillor giving my views on local democracy and the future of it. And for me, from a Gaeltacht area is if we as a Kerry County Council can't provide affordable homes and service sites in Gaeltacht areas for people who want to live and work and raise their kids through the Irish language, then I think that's the of the blocks.
Yeah, but Breedon, we're finding it difficult to find accommodation for anybody nowadays. I mean, we know how what the accommodation crisis is like. So, I mean, apart from anything else, putting money, more money into accommodation. Well, and we do know, by the way, that if you are an Irish speaker and you live in a Gaeltacht area, there are grants available, which aren't available to the rest of us, by the way. There are grants available to build in Gaeltacht areas or to build your house in a Gaeltacht area. So there is planning grants available.
Well, most of those, all those grants are nearly all gone. There is hardly any benefit now for a person to apply for planning permission in the Gaeltacht. I was lucky in our county development plan last year that in Gaeltacht areas, I suppose the need for planning was be looked at for economic and societal factors. I managed to actually get a clause in there that linguistic need, so that if a person had the Irish language, they could make a special case to get planning in their area. Yeah. So getting back to the amount of money that's going in,
when the planning is one aspect of it, okay, the other, yeah, you know, translations, obviously, core translations, EU translations for Parliament, you know, even the leaflets that went out for the referendum obviously have to be done in Irish as well as English, even though most people speak, yes, English. Even though most of those people, by the way, the 12 or 16,000 who speak fluently every day, speak Irish or live their lives in Irish, they speak English anyway. The other one, big one, of course, is RTE with TG Cahar, Radio Na Gaeltacht, who have very few listeners. I mean, if you were to work it out per head, you know, per people listen, how much it's actually costing to provide that service, you know, and I understand it's a public service. We won't get into RTE too much today. I could be here all day. Yeah. But I understand it's a public service, so it has to cost money. It's not going to be profitable. But still, there's an awful lot of money goes into it for something that realistically most people don't listen to. If we had this conversation today, Brendan, in, you know, Irish or Gaeilge, you know, all our listeners would be gone. That's just a fact. That's sad, isn't it? But it's just a fact.
Well, the only thing about when I look at Radio Na Gaeltacht and TG Cahar, for me, when we look at our national broadcasters on air and on television, Radio Na Gaeltacht and TG Cahar are the two who are by far doing the most public broadcasting service. If you, I know you could say that if we went speaking in Irish now, people would tune out. But in Gaeltacht areas, and for people who want to listen and watch shows in Irish, they are a must. They provide the news, O'Toole, local news, the national news, through the medium of Irish, in the different Irish dialects throughout the county or the country. And then you have TG Cahar. And look, for me, I'm stone mad about Gaelic games, and TG Cahar and Radio Na Gaeltacht provide all of our Gaelic games on live on air mostly, and as well on the TV club games, both ladies and men's. Before the RTE started doing it at all, TG Cahar was showing ladies football and club football, and that's what people in my area want to watch as well. And look, then I look at the likes of, say, Eadán MacGarlt, Dara Canada, heroes, Louise Neimer Hurtig, heroes for us in Gaelic football down here in Kerry. And they decide and they choose to use Irish as their, because that is what they are. It's what they're made of. So for me, like,
I appreciate your passion for the language, but do you think if we stop spending the money tomorrow, it's hard to work out exactly how much we spent. I worked it out going back a few years ago, 1.1 billion. It could be more than that when you add everything up together. If we stop spending that money tomorrow, do you think the language would die?
Well, no, I'm going to take this opportunity and I'll call for the state and call for the government to double that spending. If that is the spending we are doing,
and that's a process. That's when you add everything up, and the cost of stationery and the cost of translations and court translations and everything together, road signs, everything.
We are here and we are living in Ireland.
We do live through English.
Well, you said it in the start of the show there. Now, it's inside in you. You might not be able to speak it, but you hear the music. Look, if you go and watch a hurling game, there's a feeling in the air about what it is. I don't know, the atmosphere. It's for me, I think it's kind of magical. Same thing with football. When you're watching it, when you hear the music, when you see the Irish dancing, as you were saying, it's there. It's kind of inside in everybody. All it needs is more support.
But they're your personal feelings. But with great respect, and don't get me wrong, I understand the point that you're making, but they are your personal feelings. And, you know, the majority of people in the country wouldn't be like you, are not passionate about it, and they'd be quite apathetic about the whole thing, and they just kind of go, ah, couldn't care less. You know, and that's the way a lot of people feel.
I respect their view. I might not agree with it, but they must respect my view. And I am an Irish citizen, and people who live in the Gaeltachts are Irish citizens, and they deserve every single service that is available to every other person to be provided to them through the means of the Irish language. That is my view. I went canvassing 2009. And I started back in Dunquin, and I started knocking on doors. Nearly half of my calls that I get are true Irish people who have Irish, and they're looking for services through Irish. I'm sometimes the person in the middle.
You're the go-to
who
guy.
Speaks Irish.
Yeah.
And
the translator.
Yeah, and the state might not have it because the state has a responsibility as well.
The state has abandoned that responsibility of recent times. When we see, for example, to be a member of an Garda Síochána now, you don't have to have Irish anymore. You used to have to have. To work in RTE, to be a presenter, you used to have Irish many, many years ago. To be a presenter on any radio station years ago, you used to have Irish. You don't anymore. A lot of civil service jobs, you had to have Irish. It was an obligation to have Irish to work in the civil service. Yeah. You don't anymore. So the state has abandoned that obligation over the last 20 years.
Well, I suppose I won't say abandoned. The state has retuned their obligations. Each and every, I suppose, state body has obligations under the Irish language. But for me, I don't like putting it as an obligation. I like looking at it as an opportunity. I'll invite you down here to Corcoraguna to Dingle, say, okay? Mm-hmm. When I was a young fella, I had the great fortune of actually working in O'Flaherty's bar in Dingle. And on a Wednesday night, Fergus O'Flaherty, the owner, would play tunes, and Mike Danine O'Shea would play tunes as well on his accordion. Mike, who, of course, is Dahi Shea's father. But if you were inside and if you heard that music and if you came up to the bar and if you spoke your few words, do you know what? In Irish, you get a little bit of confidence and you get a little bit of kind of a feel of what it is like. And I'd invite anybody who's any, questions about is it worth it, come to a Gaeltacht area or go into your local cafe, pub, shop and use the few Irish words that you have. And you know what? You might be surprised.
Yeah, but if you did it outside of a Gaeltacht area, they'd be looking at you like you're 10 heads. They wouldn't understand it. Isn't that very famous short film? Do you remember the one that was about the Chinese lad? And, you know, he wanted to come to Ireland and he spent 2 years learning how to speak Irish and got here and nobody could understand him. I mean, that kind of sums it up, really, doesn't it?
But use it. Do it. It might surprise you. Go into your local shop and say, Conasta Tatu.
Yeah,
you know, or like Carwell and Rudshaw, you know, use whatever Irish you have. Even look, I'll ask you, if you just say hello every day you come on your show, and I'll use a sentence in Irish. Mm. OK, I'm sure loads of people will be giving you loads of examples of the sentences to you. But a person like yourself on national radio, take the opportunity and stand up and use the language. Like, that's what it's about. The Victor, there was an Irish, and he's still there in South Kerry, the Irish language officer, Victor Boya. And we were at a campaign meeting about Cunarán na Gaeilge before the last local elections. And all the candidates were there and we were all being put through questions and everything like that. And I asked the question of Victor, who's Russian. I said, Victor, what can we do to help promote the Irish language and keep it going? And he says, every opportunity you get, stand up and speak it. And look, I've done that since getting the privilege to go into Kerry County Council. I use Irish language at every meeting we have. And you know, and I think that's important. So look, everybody, it's in everybody's arms and hands. So like, if you have the language, use it, and don't be shy or don't be worried about pronunciations. You saw Ronan O'Gara and how he was speaking French with his Cork accent, you know. So
but listen, it
is possible.
You are very passionate about it, Brendan, and thank you very much indeed for joining us today, Slán. And
thank you.
Good luck. Okay, there you go. Brendan Fitzgerald, who's a Kerry County councillor from Dingle, Fianna Fáil, and he believes, yes, it's well worth the money. If not, actually, he would spend twice that much on the language if he had the opportunity. Let me go to Jason. Jason, hi, how are you?
Afternoon, Niall, how are you?
Good, Jason. 1.1 billion. He said he'd spend twice that if he got an opportunity to keep the language alive.
Yeah, I tend to agree with him, Noel, and I'm not an Irish speaker, never the Gaeltacht, left school real young. I'm just thinking more of a pride thing. I mean, you walk around, I'd like to pull him up on one thing. You walk into a shop in Ireland now and say anything, even English, it's hard to understand it because unfortunately most people in working shops at the moment
are not Irish.
Ain't Irish. So that's gone out.
But yeah, some Polish young one is going to be looking at you going, what are you talking about?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, come here, there's a lot of Polish people actually learning the Irish. You go my daughter's class. The reason her and her friends, she's only 7, and she's gone mad for the Irish style. So I start with,
And you speak Irish? Do you speak Irish?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I'd have the odd word, Niall, the usual, good and all good, you know.
Why are you being so patriotic about it if you don't even speak it yourself?
Because Niall, isn't it our country? And isn't it great to hear other people when they come over here? Look at the second biggest spoken language in this country at the moment is Polish. Isn't it great to hear them all sitting around?
Chinese, actually.
Probably Chinese, yeah. And then they're able to converse with us in English. I just think, as a pride thing, I think if we start taking pride back in our country, I think things might change around for us. Because at the moment, we've no pride in our country. We've no pride in ourselves. We've no pride in the government. We've no pride, you know. I mean, I think if we just brought a bit of that back, a bit of culture, nothing wrong with it. Nobody's saying you have to live your life, Niall. But, man, if we can spend close to a billion on bringing animals over to being with our people, why can't we look after the Irish people who live here and who want to live their way the Irish way? There's nothing wrong with
it. Okay, well, hang on for a second, Jason. Sean will be with you now. 2 seconds.
Niall Boylan has been told to shut up from the time he was in school. And all through his life, they just keep telling him to shut up. But not anymore. Because now he has his own live podcast, the Niall Boylan Podcast.
Sean, hi, how are you?
Diagwit, Niall.
Diagwit, agus conas an tantu.
Here's my two pence worth on this, Niall. Look, I was listening to the last caller here on the Gaeltacht. Look, I don't want to offend him by any means, shape or form, but look, I was like you. We learned Irish in school, and it never done me any good because I've nowhere to use it, Niall.
Yeah.
I've nowhere to use it. You know, I'm Dublin through and through. I always have been.
That's because you live in Dublin.
You know, they don't speak it. They don't use it, Niall. I've already limited Irish. But, you know, the stuff that I know and the stuff that I don't know. And I don't need to know it on a no-to-no basis. So, you know, he's mentioned the Gaeltacht 1,000 times over there. It's okay down there, but it's for the rest of us, it means nothing. You know, and this money that they're putting into it, it means nothing to us.
Roughly 1.1 billion per year.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's an estimate, by the way.
That's
it could
a crazy
be
amount of money, though.
He said, we should spend twice that.
Well, sure, look, that's, again, he keeps talking about the Gaeltacht. As I say, it's like a country to themselves, really, down with the Gaeltacht, you know.
Yeah.
A beautiful part of the country, been down there before. And look, it's great to see them in their own habitat, as I call it.
In their own habitat. Yes. They're not wild animals.
No, but I mean, that's where it is, because I'm sitting there and I'm like, what did he say? You know, and I'd need a translator myself going down to the Gaeltacht. So it's not, it just make any difference to me whatsoever.
Jason, let them stick to their own habitat, Jason.
Spoken like a true moron, that fella. You know what I mean? Isn't it disgraceful that you, isn't it disgraceful you don't understand your own language? And just listen to the two people in there.
Shut up, Jason. I just thought it was funny.
Shut up.
It is funny. What's it doing? Jason, what's it going to do for me, Jason, in fairness? It's not going to do anything for me.
For you. What do you do for this country? Fuck off,
oh,
as usual.
Here we go.
Yeah,
and what do you do, Jason?
People have a bit of pride. People have a bit. I walk down here, I pay me taxes.
Oh, good
I pay
man.
Me taxes.
Well done,
right.
Sir.
You know what I mean?
Here, you blew the Peter badge. I'm not supposed to be you, Noel.
You know what I mean? Jason. You're a fucking moron, you are. You know that? I'm sick of listening to you. But look.
Jesus Christ, Jason.
He's gone. He's gone. Stop. Some people don't have a sense of humour anymore. Anyway, Sean, so you think it's a waste of money now? You do think it's a waste of money?
Look, it's for the simple reason, Noel. I don't use it. The kids don't use it, you know. And, you know, my missus doesn't use it. I know a lot of people that do, but I know nobody that speaks Irish.
Yeah.
Honestly, we all were taught Irish in school, but we don't use it. You know, like Jason's going off on a high horse there. When did we actually use it? Because I can't even remember the last time I spoke in Irish or the little bit of Irish that I have. I couldn't.
Yeah, somebody says spending twice that amount of money. Somebody says, is that guy crazy? He wants to double the spending up to $2 billion a year. There's 12,000 people use the language on a daily basis. If you do the maths, that's 160,000 euros per person per year. That's the definition of a waste of money. Well, now, in fairness, there is 70,000 people who also use the language too, but they believe most of those would be educators, would be, you know, school teachers and what have you.
Well, of course, and that's another waste of time, you know. I think that... You know, like as I said, like, you know, my daughter's in college at the moment, and you know, she's nothing got to do with Irish. She said it to me. She's she's going for Spanish and French and stuff like that.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
I don't know what happened there, now.
Yeah, that's okay. But,
it's just the fact that you know, in my personal opinion, I don't think I think it is a waste of money. And look, the Gaeltacht is a different kettle of fish altogether. It's a different part of the country, and I get that they're using it down there, but they're not using it up here. And as you said there about the television oil as well, I go straight through them stations,
Well, if you don't understand Irish, you probably are going to go to them. Sorry, I'm still laughing at the habitat line. And Nuala, how are you doing, Nuala?
No, not too bad at all.
Nuala, you don't think it's a waste of money?
Well, I do. I do. Well, in some ways, I think it's creating an awful lot of jobbings, high-end jobbings for certain people who get do their degrees in Irish and all the rest. And that's no good to the ordinary people out in Connemara, out in Lochinvar, or out in Kilkeeran or places like that. You know, it's kind of it's patronising to the people who really are native speakers, who are mostly fishermen, small farmers and that.
Yeah.
They don't have the big jobs. The big jobs, I know one place where it's out in the edge of Galway City, which was diagnosed.
I tell you what, some of the words you're coming out with today.
Where do you mean?
Diagnosed.
Most of the people,
you mean designated. Designated.
But most of the people there, New Estates, they don't speak Irish at all. But I heard of it. There would be there's a care home in the area. Got a grant of $250,000 because it was in the Gaeltacht area.
What? Because the people in the care home speak Irish. So what? The older people in the care home speak Irish.
They don't. Now this one. Now I happen to have a relative there, and there's a girl there from Carrow or somewhere, and she. My brother did. He worked out in Click here on the seaweed factory way back, so he has, you know, he's getting a bit of dementia, but he understands the Irish, and she can't say to him, "Cut off the coffer," and he obeys her immediately.
What does she say to him? "Cut off the coffer." What's that?
"Cut off the coffer," like as he's in the wheelchair, and put back in your legs.
Oh, put back in your legs.
Yeah,
kind of
chat the
cutter. Oh, okay. I mean, if you ask me to repeat some Irish now, I mean, I'm Will Cadogum, Dull Gadia and Letters. I remember that from school. Yeah, you remember that from school, don't you, Sean? Yeah, I'm Will Cadogum, Dull Gadia.
Absolutely.
Yeah, can I go to the Jack's Misses? Yeah.
Way back, I lived in a shear for about 2 years, and because I had leaving Cert Irish, and I thought, well, this is great. So walking down the road and with somebody else, and this fella comes along and says, "Jeeb." So I haven't a clue what he was saying. That's just God be with you. You know, and I was thinking, all the 2 years I spent learning Irish and I couldn't understand a native Irish speaker. Like, what we're learning in the schools now is book Irish, a kind of a hybrid. And I hear some of the ads on the television and I just kind of say to myself, holy Moses, you know, you wouldn't go to, if you want to speak fluent French, you learn how to, the accent.
Yeah.
Now, when I question this with a lot of these tachés, you know, and they say, oh, well, there's different dialects. There's a northern one and there's a Cartagena and there's a... No, there's, if you learn a language, you learn a blot. If you were in Denmark, you can understand a Swede and a Norwegian. They speak relatively different languages, but they understand each other. So how come I can't understand somebody out in Connemara?
Well, it's different dialects. Yeah, there are different dialects. Okay, well, stay there for a second, by the way. Jason sent in a WhatsApp message. I'll play it in a few minutes. He's not very happy. He said, we're laughing at the Irish language. Jason, we're not laughing at the Irish language. I was laughing at Sean and his habitat line, for God's sake. Let me go to Aaron. You're very sensitive today, Jason. Aaron, hi, how are you?
Oh, hi, Ned. How are you?
Good. Aaron. You don't believe it's a waste of money?
Well, I think that extent of money is certainly a waste. It's I think it's like any layer to civil service, as you said. There's just so much waste and probably corruption. And I think, as that lady, there's a lot of, with the Irish language in particular in the civil service, there's a lot of jobs for boys.
Mm.
I often thought, I mean, my grandparents were native Irish speakers, and I was a good old Gaeltacht growing up. But I mean, I remember going into Gaeltacht and no matter what level of Irish you had, they wouldn't talk to you.
Right.
So a lot of Irish language circles haven't really helped themselves or the language in terms of that. They wanted it to be a very elitist thing. You know, with lots of money attached. Like that. Go on, yeah.
You heard what? Sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, go ahead,
Sean. You heard Noel. What was that Irish guy's name, Noel, that was on force?
Brendan. Yeah.
Brendan. Well, you heard what Brendan said, lads. You know, he wants special grants for people there and special grants for land and houses and all. Sure, there is, you hit the nail on the head there, caller. You know, he wants special grants for people that's talking the language there and that's putting them, you know, their time and effort into the language. So, yeah. You know, it sounds to me like it's a very closed camp, to be honest, you know.
I wouldn't disagree with the same kind of incentives for the Gaeltacht areas. But I think there's...
No, we get that. But you're talking about houses and lands. It's a different story, you know. Like, we're all up against that one. I'm just saying to you, but no matter what language we speak here in Ireland, whether it's in Irish or it's in, not as we call it, English, I suppose.
It is, yeah. I've encountered
the fact of the matter is we're all on the jobs. What Noel said to him. We're all on the same boat here. We're all looking to get our hands, you know. Well, I'm looking to get hands on property for my kids. But the fact of the matter is, look, you shouldn't be getting a special package there deal if you're, you know, you're speaking Irish. That's as far as I'm concerned. That's what I was going to say to them if I got my hands on them.
Yeah, you shouldn't be getting a privilege, is what you're saying. Yeah.
No.
And there is some levels of discrimination, Aaron. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, I think it's wonderful that we have a native language. But there is levels of discrimination. For example, if you do your... leaving cert, Oscailge, like, so you do your maths and everything else, geography and history and Irish, you get extra points. I mean, that's a little bit unfair on those who don't speak Irish, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think a lot of the spend as well. I think every EU debate and all that is to be translated into Irish, archived somewhere that no one will read it. Like, a lot of that, if you could tear away. I mean, and I've encountered people who've worked in the civil service type consultant, almost lower management roles, and their salaries are eye watering.
I was looking at a story here in the paper there during the year, and it said the Department of Social Protection ran up a bill for more than 5.5 million on interpretation costs for Irish.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Like, I mean, and in fairness, it's everywhere. The HSE guards we've seen in RTE, any state funded, and so you could tear millions off it easily, and it wouldn't make a blind bit of difference to the outcome, you know.
Mm.
Um, But it's so I kind of I think John B. Keane back in the day was and there was like riots, and I mean he supported the I think the downgrading of it, and I think his attitude was that I mean if you can't do it for the love of it, if you love it so much, like
it should just survive.
Why should you be?
Yeah.
Why should you? I do think it should be incentivized with state money here and there, but it's
should it be mandatory in schools? By the way, this whole idea that you have to learn Irish in school, should it be mandatory?
I think it probably. It's well, the other argument there is the efficiency. I can't understand that, like, is it 13 years of education we all go through now? Yeah. Like, and you come out with barely a word. So it's like, it's however the hell, and I think there's just too much.
Why is that? I can never understand why.
Efficiency, please. Yeah. Like, you know,
why you spend 13 or 14 years, as you rightly said, learning Irish, you come out with very little. But then you do 2 or 3 years in secondary school of French and you come out learning a lot more French than you do Irish. It's bizarre.
Yeah. I think the Gaeltachts, as you said, Niall, as well. I mean, people from wealthy areas caught on that. I think the Gaelscoils they went on to do better academically because it's always better for your overall intelligence to be bilingual. So I think that's why they got in. I mean,
are other reasons why Gaelscoils became popular.
Yeah, you know? I'm sure. Yeah, but yeah. I don't think it was all love of the language. It was why a lot of
I would agree with you.
You know.
Okay, but stay there a second. Let me just go to Carl as well. Carl, hi, how are you?
How are you, Niall? How's it going? Well, my thoughts on the Irish language, I mean, I live in the centre of Dublin.
Yeah.
And the amount
our
identity because of all the immigrants coming in. I mean, and yet when I say to them, learn a bit of Irish, no, why would I want to learn that stupid language? It's a really ridiculous language. You know, I wish I had learned it at school. Well, when I was back in school in the 70s or 80s, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't appreciate it then, but I'd appreciate it now. I can speak a couple of fucking, but not much. Not even enough to get by.
What's it got to do with immigration? This is a kind of patriotic thing then, isn't it?
No, well, I mean, with all the immigrants coming in and the way they want to change different rules and do different things, a lot of Irish people are saying, oh, we're losing our identity because of all these immigrants coming in.
Okay.
I mean, you've heard that enough.
Yeah, well, no, that, absolutely, you know,
You know? And then when you ask them to do something, like
there's more to our identity than the Irish language. There's our culture in general is more about what we are and who we are.
Yeah, I mean that as well. But we're losing that as well.
Well, yeah, true.
We are losing our identity, you know. But as I said, I mean, the way they taught Irish in school in the '70s and '80s, it was bleeding torture.
Oh yeah, you get the head boxed off you if you didn't know it. Yeah, yeah.
And take stairs and needing pain.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
It was miserable, wasn't it? Peg Sayers. I always remember Peg Sayers. It was miserable, wasn't it?
Ah, she was an absolute nightmare. And going home. And then your parents hadn't got a word of Irish either.
Yeah.
They're trying to do Irish homework with you.
I know. My dad had a bit of Irish. Yeah. My dad used to speak a bit of Irish. Not very much, but my ma hadn't a clue. Mm-hmm. You know?
The only Irish I know is Tartu, Amadon, and doing the Veilog is not being kind.
You probably get told that by your mother, did you?
I got told that by a few teachers as well.
Yeah. Sean, I bet you were called the odd Amadon every now and again, were you?
Absolutely, Niall, absolutely, you know, and it's funny I still use that to today.
Yeah.
Amadon, you know, I do, I absolutely do. But like, look, he's at the saying there, sorry, the gentleman, what's his name?
Carl.
Carl, look, we always have our culture, you know. I'm not too worried about, and even as Jay said there, I'm not worried about that. I'm not, you know, so everybody's saying that we're going to lose our Irish culture because we don't speak Irish, you know. We've never really spoken Irish unless you were down the Gaeltacht, you know. Anybody in Dublin, anybody around, you know, surrounding counties, you know, you go up and the length and breadth of the country, you know, you'll never speak, you'll never hear a bit of Irish now. You know, but there is, Irish as it can be.
The amount of lads from Dublin and girls from Dublin who go to the Gaeltacht on a holiday. I mean, in the 80s it was a big place to go for young kids. You know, you couldn't go far. I'd go down to the Gaeltacht and see what it's like. I was down there myself. We had a great time down there. We had an absolute great time. And I still laugh about some of the crap we got up to. But it was a great time.
And did you speak Irish while you were there?
Well, you didn't speak Irish. You weren't getting fit. Simple as that. Like everywhere in the shops and all spoke Irish. Look, it's like France. If you go to France and
you have to speak French.
Speak a bit of French to them. Yeah, if you at least try and speak a bit of French to them, they'll help you a lot.
But yeah, I know. But if you don't, they're quite rude to you if you don't even try.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, they're perfectly right. I mean, there's nothing worse. Like, we go to Spain on holidays, for example, and we expect the waiters and the barmen and the service people and the shops to speak English to us. I mean, that's extremely rude of us to do that. I mean, if they came here, we wouldn't, and they start speaking in Spanish to us, you know, we'd be going, what are you talking about? Haven't a clue. You know what I mean? So so we are quite, you know, rude when it comes to, we go around the world and we expect other countries to speak English.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but most of them do, though, Noel. Most, you go to Spain, like, a lot of the population would know English.
A lot of them do, but some of them don't.
Yeah, no, some of them don't. It's like the Gael talks here, you know. It's the same thing. You know, like, you understandable, you know.
English is the most acceptable language in the world, but it's not the most spoken language in the world, by the way. Do you know what the most spoken language is?
I get that. But
what's the most spoken language in the world, Sean?
Jeez, you had me there. No, I wouldn't have a clue.
Do you know what the most spoken language in the world is?
Portuguese.
No. Aaron, any idea?
Mandarin, maybe.
Mandarin Chinese. Spanish is the second most spoken language in the world because it's spoken in so many countries. English is actually third. But English is the most acceptable language in the world. Okay, stay there for a second. Let me just go to Maureen. Maureen, hi, how are you?
Buenas tardes, Niall.
How are you doing? What do you want to say? Yeah. Don't even test me. Jason has already tested me today. He's gone off in the storm. because Sean cracked a funny joke. Oh, he says he'll come back. Right. Yeah, I think Jason thought we were laughing at him. We weren't. We were laughing at Sean's joke about habitats, which I thought was funny. And I still think it's funny.
You have to have a joke every now and again.
Ah, stop. Yeah, I think Jason just took it too seriously.
Yeah, but where I am now here, just behind me, they have a whale skull.
Yeah.
And, of course, all the children do their homework and they speak Irish all day in school.
Yeah.
Now, maybe the downside is parents can't help them maybe with their homework or something when they come home, but they can speak English as well.
Yeah.
So they're multilingual. But what I found going to school was when we were learning Irish, it was boring. So then when I got into secondary school and I did Spanish because the French class was full. But it was more exciting, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Let me get back to the money aspect of it, because that's what we're talking about today. You know, I can't give you the exact figure, but it calculates at roughly around a little over $1 billion a year that we spend on everything in relation to the Irish language. Is it worth it? Sean says it's a waste of money.
How much are they spending on it again, did you say?
Well, somewhere around £1 billion altogether, with translations and road signs and, you know, Raiden Aguirre took to TG Cahar and all different type of things. Roughly about £1 billion a year.
Yeah, well, it is a lot of money. But you see, I think this is all a little too late. And, for example, I'm looking at the children now, and even some of them in primary school, you know, they head off on their school tours, and some of them, you know, they'll go abroad and they'll go somewhere else. You know, why not have just a week? Maybe we'll say in the Gaeltacht with the children. Take them up there, let them listen to being spoken every day. Introduce some Irish music, some traditional Irish music, anything Irish, even in the school itself, even an Irish class, to make it a bit more exciting, because I used to find that the language, the way they taught it, it was boring.
Yeah.
Whereas if they'd added something to it, it would have made it fun and you'd have been more willing to learn it.
So you think keep spending, because all that costs money, you're saying keep spending the money, so?
Well, spend as much as you can. But you see, I suppose we are losing our culture, Niall. We are losing our heritage.
Right.
And I think we should keep it going.
Okay, hang on. That's a fair point, Sean. We're losing our heritage. We're losing our culture. We're losing our identity. You know, and this is part of it.
You can't blame anybody for not wanting to speak Irish and you know, not caring about it, you know. Like, we're too much to be getting on with, Niall, you know. And this world is way too fast for anybody to stop it now. And, you know, like, if my kids turn around and said to me, look, I don't want to speak Irish, I don't want to take that class, I wouldn't have any qualms in saying, don't worry about it, because they're not going to need it. That's the problem here.
But the point is, if you start them young, like I said, in the primary school, but maybe...
No, but where are we going to need it? Sorry,
hold on a second. They're introducing every other language into classrooms, and Irish is being left out.
That's right. That's right. Because
that's
you know
right.
why? Because well, it is right. Because they're going to go traveling the world. They don't want to. No, no, it is right. Of course it's right.
It's not
of course
right.
it's right.
Our language,
my daughter's going off out to France.
Language.
Hold on for a minute. My daughter's going off to France there now in the summer. And she's very good at French. That's and she wants
our
to be and she wants to
come
you know,
first.
Well
Irish
does it well for you
French,
maybe.
German
well, for you
Spanish,
maybe.
Ukrainian,
not for me it doesn't.
Russian anything at all. Irish Trump, yeah. It comes first. Because
but to be fair, Maureen, the point Sean is making, unless you want to be a school teacher in Ireland, and you'll need
exactly.
Irish for that.
You're not gonna need it.
Yeah, unless you're gonna be a school teacher in Ireland, it's unnecessary. Whereas, say the likes of French and Spanish are more useful nowadays for children who because we live in a very diverse world with multinational companies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And those languages are more useful financially.
They might be more useful financially, but they are to the detriment of our own heritage and our culture.
Well, that's the way it goes. That's where
well,
there
it
is.
Shouldn't
need,
go that way.
I know. I know. Look at what it is. This is 2024. This is the way it's going to go. The Irish language is not going to give you a good job. Well, in some cases it will, I suppose. But what I'm saying to you is, Maureen, my daughter, for what Irish is not going to do anything for her. And it hasn't done anything for me. It hasn't done anything for my other son either. So, I'm wondering where you're going on this one. I know what you're saying.
To
it's
keep
a joy. Look
the
at
lang- where I'm going on this is to keep the language alive. Don't
yeah,
let it
keep
die
it down
out.
The Gaeltacht. I've no problem with anybody down the Gaeltacht wanting to speak it and
not
you just want to speak in Irish. Go
ahead. All over the country. Keep the language alive.
No benefits
alive.
To us, Maureen.
Keep the traditions
no
alive.
Well,
keep
I know
it
I
alive.
Get your wishes. It's no
you
benefit,
want to
Maureen.
Let it die? I don't.
Okay, but hang on, both of you. Let me just say there.
Go to the Highlands.
Yep.
If you go to the Highlands of Scotland. Because
yeah.
I'm a Scots woman by birth. The language is Scots Gaelic. You'll hear nothing, only Scots Gaelic, all through the Highlands.
Same, well, it's the same if you go to Wales. You'll only hear Welsh. Really,
I'm sure.
But we're not living in Wales or Scotland.
It won't make any matter to me, Maureen. I won't be going there.
Yeah, and to be fair to the people of Wales, I mean, Welsh is a lovely language too, and fair play to them for keeping it alive. But it's no use to you outside Wales because nobody understands
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but
exactly.
Just to keep it alive because
okay.
Everything that we value and
okay,
everything.
Okay, no, yeah, I know. The heritage
destroyed.
Is important. I get that. Well, let me go to Martin. Martin, hi, how are you doing?
To a Falter Road,
no. Falter Road, could you agree? Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. When I was going to school in the 60s and 70s, Irish wasn't taught. It was, I don't know what they did. Well, I have my own suspicion as to why it was presented the way it was presented. I think there was a high degree of control by the civil service, and certainly there was this thing of if you wanted a job in the civil service, you had to have Irish. So the larger conurbations, you know, Cork, Dublin, the areas where there were large populations, Irish wasn't taught as a living language. Now, it's to my shame that I never really learned. I know thousands of words in Irish, but I never learned how to have a conversation in Irish because it was never taught to me. Mm. And the reason I can speak English is because I was reared speaking English. That's what we did in schools. It's
yeah.
not rocket science. It's very simple. It's really so simple. If the language was taught as a living language, people would speak it.
Well, that's what they yeah. do. That's what they do in grad schools. Yeah.
Yeah. My grandchildren go to Gael schools, right?
Yeah, but not everybody wants to go to Gael school.
Pardon?
Not everybody wants to go to a Gael school.
No, I get that. I understand that.
Hmm.
Not everybody wants to, but my grandchildren go to Gael school. I'm trying to learn Irish at the moment. I'm getting to the point where I can kind of understand a lot of the conversation we have or that they have between themselves. But the real issue here has to do with our national identity, our culture.
There you go, Sean.
Yes.
Culture, identity.
The vast majority of the money that's spent is wasted because it's deliberately wasted. The government want to be able to turn around and say, oh, we spent €1 billion on it and nobody wants to speak it. Nobody wants to speak it because it's not being taught properly. It wouldn't be difficult. If it was introduced into the schools from the time a child goes to school until they leave primary school as the first language, people would speak it.
But it's not the first language.
We need our...
But it's not the first
Pardon?
Language. But it's not the first
no,
language
I
we
know
communicate.
No, it's not, Niall. I'm
so
not
why
saying
would you do
it
that?
Is. Why would I do it? Yeah. I would do it so that we can re-establish our national identity.
So you do not think English is more important for children?
English is important.
No, do you not think it's more important?
Look,
of course it's more important.
Hang on for a second, Sean. Just button it for a moment, please.
Oh.
English is very important. Wherever you go in the world, almost, as far as I'm aware, when you're traveling on an aircraft, the air traffic control, all that is done in English. I have no objection to English being taught. But at the end of the day, I'm Irish. I'm ashamed of the fact that I was reared, and I'm now 63 years of age, and I'm only beginning to learn my national language. It's part of my culture.
But that's not everybody else's fault.
Can I ask you a question?
Kind of your own fault, Martin. You could have learned Irish at any point you want in the last 30 years.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not arguing
that. Yes. Well, sorry, Sean, you want to say something to Martin? Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to ask Martin a question there. I know he said his grandkids are in Gael school, but can I ask you this, Martin? When they go through Gael school and what have you not, you know, what benefit really is it to them that you know Irish? Is that the only benefit really? Because that's all I can see here, is that they know Irish. If they go to any other country, it's not going to serve them any good. That's to be honest with you, Martin, and I'm sorry to be blunt about it, but it's not going to serve them any good if they go to any other country.
Hang on. When they go to another country, if they're speaking English, people will think that they're English or possibly American.
But you go over here. I can just say to you, Martin, if they go over to anywhere in France or in Spain or anywhere else and they start speaking Irish, no one's going to have a clue what the heck they're talking about.
The other people in those countries, the indigenous people in France or Germany or Belgium or anywhere else, don't need to know Irish.
I'm trying to figure out what you're trying to say here, Martin. So you're telling me it would be nicer if, you know, Johnny and Mary go to France on holidays or Spain on holidays and spoke Irish to the natives rather than speaking English.
No. I'm not saying speaking
that would be
Irish
impossible.
To the natives. I'm talking. Look, I have a fairly good ear. I can pick up, even though I don't understand the languages, I can normally determine, is it an Eastern European language or a Western
European language? Yeah.
I can differentiate German from French and what have you, right? So if I'm walking, if I was a fluent Irish speaker and I'm walking down the road with someone else that's a fluent Irish speaker in Germany and I'm having a conversation in Irish, Os Gaeilge, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about going up to a counter where someone's...
Why would you want to have a conversation in Irish in Germany?
Exactly. What's the point in this, man?
Well, you'd be far better having a conversation in English. At least people might have some idea what you're talking about.
Sean, hang on for a second.
Okay, this is based on a question Sean asked you, Martin, and I don't have a huge amount of time. Was what's the benefit? He's asking what the benefit. Unless, of course, they want to be school teachers.
What you want to speak to your native in Irish? That's what you're telling me.
Do you want an answer? If you just be quiet for a moment, I'll tell you what the answer is.
Better than the one you gave me already. That you want to speak Irish to your friends. Go. Give me a better one than that, please.
Okay, the better one than that is that I don't want to be a Luddite, okay? You obviously do. I want to improve myself. I want to be able to establish that I am Irish, and hopefully I will be able to get to a point where I can speak my own native language. That's what I'm talking about.
Will you stop now? No, I won't stop.
Honestly. Just putting it for a moment. You always do the same.
Way too late for that, Martin.
The simple fact is that our culture, our national culture, our heritage is being destroyed deliberately by the government. They're spending, if they spend a billion, it's just so that they can turn around and say, oh, we spent a billion, but nobody's speaking it. That's the point. They want to homogenize everyone in the country. They don't want a culture.
Well, the truth of it is, Martin, nobody is speaking it. Only for what you just said. Your grandkids are going to the Gael talk.
You are saying nobody is speaking it. If you don't want to, fine. Continue your life like that. But don't speak for everyone else.
But I suppose to some degree he's factually correct. When you say nobody, okay, it's a small amount of people. There are 16,000 people maximum use Irish in their daily life. In this country.
And if it was taught properly, there'd be far more people would be speaking.
There's 5.2 million people in the country.
Pardon?
There's 5.2 million people in the country.
Yes.
Yeah, and 16,000 are speaking Spanish daily.
It's like any other subject. If it was taught properly, the vast majority of
the day for that, Martin.
So stay there. Well, hang on. Stay there, both of you. Let me just bring John in as well. John, hi. How are you?
Afternoon. How are you? There was a quotation there by John F. Kennedy, former president of the United States of America.
Never quote American presidents. Go ahead, Jack.
What do I know? I know. But he said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. So ask not what the Irish language can do for you, ask
Absolutely.
What you can do for the Irish language. In other words, learn it, which I intend doing. Now, the way it was taught in the schools, especially by the brothers' presentation, brothers, or even the secondary, it was beat out of us. The English tried to kill us and drive it out of us when they had us for 800 years. The brothers and the teachers, and the way it was taught in both primary and secondary, right, drove it out of us as well because it was hard to pick up. And if you struggle with it, you got beat around the place and that type of people. I remember if there was 10 minutes left before the class would break up, instead of taking out a maths book or taking out geography book or whatever, the brother would say, take out your Irish books. And you could hear the groan right around it because people hated it. Mr. Way, it was not taught, because that's exactly what happened. It wasn't taught properly. And it was beat out of us by these people. Now, more so than ever, I think it needs to be protected because this country is changing so fast. But the last couple of years, especially the demographics and the amount of people coming in here, we have to hold firm everything that is ours and our culture. And that most certainly includes the Irish language.
There you go, Sean. Have to hold firm. Hold on to our culture.
Sure, I knew this, Noel. You see, this is what happens, you see. I can't believe the amount of people that has actually came on the show today and has blamed immigration for losing our Irish. When it was actually not the immigration that the Irish went down the pisser,
no,
because everybody's up
gone,
the same.
It was gone
the Irish
that.
Language went down the pisser because it was everybody said the same. It was the way it was taught to ourselves, to our kids, and to whoever taught it. But nobody, what I'm saying is, I don't think anybody is, you know, look, I said already, if you want to go there.
Can I say something? What I find ironic is the amount of people, I'm not having a go with the Irish language, and it's wonderful, and it's a nice romantic notion,
no,
I think you can speak it.
Far away,
speak the Irish language. But the amount of people coming on today and defending it, you know, passionately. And yes, John,
I can't believe it.
Yeah, John, you're defending the language passionately, yeah, okay? The spending of the money and all that kind of thing, right? Okay, let's have a conversation in Irish, John. Can you speak Irish?
I intend learning it.
It's
never too late. And what they should do is, remember, you're old enough to remember Buntu's Kainte.
Buntu's Kainte, yeah.
Was on TV.
Yeah.
And, well, I was probably looking at that for all the wrong reasons, because one of the girls, like, they said, was wearing short miniskirts, and that's why I looked at us. And I fancied one of the girls, the hot
It's all
like,
the wrong reasons to want to learn Irish, yeah, but
I know, so this is it. I'm a red-blooded cock, man. What can you do?
Yeah. So, with all the passion in the world, you're coming on here today defending the Irish language, and you don't speak it.
Yeah, but again, that's getting back to the way it was taught. And there's a gals of people in the Gael talking about grants and everything and all. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the key people within that area that want to live like
just
that.
Fling money at us.
That's what I said, John. Yeah. It's okay for the Gael talk. Let it keep it down there. As I said, that's their, and we were laughing about it earlier on, that's their habitat, you know, and that's the way I see that, you know. We're up here in Dublin. We don't speak it. I've never spoken one word of Irish in 10 years.
And the other side, then, what you've got, you've Paddy the Muslim coming in now, and he's not going to lose his native tongue.
Don't be blaming Paddy. Don't be blaming Paddy the Muslim. He's nothing to do with this. I mean, the Irish language is on the decline long before people were coming from around the world to this country. Paddy the Muslim has nothing to do with it.
The point I make is Paddy the Muslim is bringing his culture, he's bringing his language in here. He will learn English then, right? But here's us with our own native tongue, and we won't fucking learn it.
But don't be giving out about Paddy the Muslim, because when the Irish people went to America, you know, they set up little Irish towns and little Irish areas all over New York and Brooklyn.
Absolutely.
Leave Paddy the Muslim alone.
They did, but those Irish people that went over there that couldn't speak English, that came from Great Depression, that went out on the famine times and all, they had to learn English to survive.
Well, why wouldn't you? You're in an English-speaking country. Of course you do. If I went to Spain, I'd have to learn Spanish.
Well, they said if we're not careful, the way this country is going, and the traitor of Iraq and the traitor of Martin, and the traitor, the rest of the Greens and the whole bastard lot of them, they'll destroy this country.
We'll be all speaking Ukrainian before the end of the year. Stay there for a second, please, John and Sean. Let me just go to Sarah. Sarah, hi. How are you doing?
Hi, not too bad.
Good. Sarah, 1.1 billion, roughly. I can't, you know, give you a fact on that figure, but it's in and around that. Is it a lot of money? Is it too much?
I think it's going to be wasted, but it should be spent in different areas. So, like, if they brought the Irish language back into reality and had it taught that way in schools, then it might actually take off again. There's a couple of things, like, if they used apps, if they used music, if they used other things to teach Irish and not just, as lots of people have said, you know, bait it into them as such in primary and secondary schools, then it might actually take off again. The Irish language is incredibly, I work in education, the Irish language is incredibly important to our culture, to our
do
identity.
Do you speak it?
And it also, I can speak it. I wouldn't be hugely fluent and talking about politics or anything through it.
Okay.
But I'm not an Irish teacher, but I can hold a conversation in it,
well,
yes.
Here, do you know what kind of I did go, if it's so important that everybody's saying it's so important on this show.
Can you just let me
I can't speak it. Nobody's speaking it, but everybody's saying it's so important. My question to you is, if it's so important, why are you not being able to speak it? And you're in the educational.
She said she can. She said she can.
I'm not speaking it because there's not enough other people speaking it in their daily lives. But that is our fault as well. So if the Irish language, if there's somebody in government who took this on and actually said, right, I'm making a point now of bringing the Irish language and keeping it alive again and bringing it back in. It should be made mandatory in schools for everybody from the age of 5 when they go into the
infant. Would you stop out of that?
And it should be taught. Yeah. It should be taught.
Hang on. Now, Sarah, you just gave out about the way we taught Irish in the school. Now you're going back to making it mandatory again. You're going back to basically drilling it into people.
Listen, no. Mandatory in a positive way, and change
but it is
the
mandatory.
Of how it's taught.
It is already mandatory in primary school and in secondary school
there's
in this country.
EAL, the EAL time, EAL is English as an additional language. The time that's given to EAL students at the moment in primary school, it is absolutely unbelievable and it's very, very disruptive for the time schedule that a primary school teacher has to work through. There is time being lost left, right and centre, and Irish is at the back of the queue. It's incredibly important for our culture, our identity and our history to stay alive. The language has to stay alive and it has to be changed the way it's taught. Money needs to be pumped into it, but it needs to be pumped in a different way. There is a lot of wastage of the way the money is spent on the language at the moment. And it should be made mandatory from everyone coming in, immigrants, and I am married to an immigrant. It should be made mandatory for people that are young enough, for kids that are young enough to actually grasp it from the beginning. And if that was the case and it was put to the forefront of part of our education through primary and secondary, then the language would be reborn again and revived. And maybe
So when you say it should be mandatory for people coming into the country, you're talking about young children. Should adults like, you know, Tommy the Nigerian, should he be forced to learn Irish to get citizenship, for example?
No, I didn't say that. I said everybody that is of age 5 or 6 starting
okay,
school,
young people.
It should
well, they
be made
do.
Mandatory
yeah, they do.
Regardless
yeah.
of where they're coming from, regardless of what their culture is at home. If they're in this country, our culture should be appreciated as much as everybody else's culture. And in order to keep our language alive, which is part of our culture, it needs to be brought in at that age group and the whole way up through our education system, given priority. As English is given priority.
Well, English is given priority because it's the most spoken language in the world. Well, not the most spoken, the most acceptable language in the world.
The reason Irish is not spoken is because it's not given priority.
No, but Irish is only spoken in one country, which is this one. So
you don't learn a language just to
get
a job.
But Sarah, the point is we live globally now. Because we're living online, we're living on the internet, we're working on the internet, we're working for multinational companies. So English is a much more acceptable language for every nationality, of course, not just for Ireland.
And I'm not arguing that.
Yeah,
but
so it's very important.
My argument is Yes, one of my argument is that it should be kept alive and it should be revived in a major, major way. We are losing our identity. We are losing our culture. And the Paddy Joe Soap there, who's talking from, oh, we don't speak it outside of Dublin, yeah? He can't see the grand scheme of things around this culture and yeah. loss of identity. Yeah. He can't see that.
There's no benefit.
There's more things that are important.
I won't be seeing it either. No, there's no benefit. And you see there at every job, Niall, that's posted there, whether you see it online or in a, you know, and this girl here wants to, but the fact of the matter is, it says, needs to be English speaking, you know, the fact of the matter is, and you want them to speak Irish, will you get a grip, sir? Come on now. It's not
okay, listen, lads, ladies, I haven't got time. I can't go on any further. Unfortunately, I've run out of time. John, Sarah, Sean, thank you very much indeed. And even Jason too. Oh, there's a voice message there from Jason I think I was supposed to play. I think it's gone again. I'll try play this one and see what happens.
No, myself and the wife were in the Aran Islands last year for 2 nights, and we had a great time, the two of us. And in fairness, a lot of them, most of them over there, 99% of them over there, were speaking English among themselves, and obviously they're all speaking English to us, the tourists. So I think I only heard the boat people speaking Irish, the guys that run the tourist ships, you know, that go from Doolin over to the Aran Islands. I think I heard them once or twice speaking Irish among themselves, but the islanders themselves, I did hear them speaking English among themselves. Now, I'm not saying they don't speak Irish, they probably do, but I did hear them speak English all the time among themselves. Cheers, pal.
There you go, that's Neil, the taxi driver. By the way, some of your messages coming in. Kevin says, I do apologize. There you go. Kevin says, I find it incredibly hypocritical and backwards, and someone would suggest we're spending too much on the Irish language and culture, while at the same time our tax money is used to promote and provide for the many other cultures and languages that are coming here and diluting our culture and language on a daily basis. Dave says, people like Sean make me laugh. You hear him go on about Ireland and how we're taking in too many foreigners, yet wants to completely abandon the national language. My son's generation have a way better understanding of it than we did. It's not a money thing. It's how it's taught in schools. I don't think Sean has ever gave out about foreign nationals. I don't think he's that type. Anyway, Aaron says, I would just like to comment that also that there is a huge, well-paid, woke movement trying to instill a sense of shame in people from all Western countries, their history and languages. BLM, Black Lives Matter, tried it in Ireland, and Varadkar announced to the Dáil that the civil service is too white and there needs to be a strong push back against this globalist agenda. The Irish language always gave me a strong sense of identity, even when I wasn't speaking it. It is a language older than Latin, says Aaron. And Jane says, my daughters went to school, so Irish primary school and secondary. Best decision, my eldest is in college doing medicinal chemistry, and she does grinds and maths and Irish grinds in her spare time as a job. Irish is in accounting, so that's a benefit. Okay, well, obviously she made money on the side doing Irish. Okay, listen, thank you to everybody who got involved in the conversation today. We've another one on the way, but thank you to everybody who got involved in the conversation. Please, by the way, help us by donating to our website. We struggle on a daily basis to pay for this show out of our own pockets. We do get some subscriptions, we get some small donations, but it's never enough to pay the bills. We need to pay the bills. We do really need to pay the bills. Trust me, or we will have no podcast. We would like to do a lot more. We have equipment we need to replace. We have all that kind of stuff we need to do. All you got to do is help us out by subscribing for $5.99 plus tax a month, which is like buying a pint of beer, a cup of coffee between the three of us who work on the show. We don't get paid. So please do it. Go to our website, nileboylan.com, and you can download all the podcasts as well once you subscribe. Or please donate €5 or €5 million if you want to. Go to the website, nileboylan.com. I shall be back again with you tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.